All right, here we are. We are in person. We are not doing a... I mean, you and I have done some long distance... We've been in a long distance relationship, and we have finally... We are finally together. Bo Rude's in the house. No YouTube today. I apologize to everybody. And I want to set the table for us before we get into this thing. It is 7:15 on Wednesday, December 21st. It is signing day. We are going to focus solely on signing day.
Yeah.
And then we'll do a whole other pod with... the staff, different things. There's a lot of interesting things with the staff that we gotta unpack.
Yeah, we haven't fully grasped that yet.
No, no. Well, and I will say, and you know, this will give you an opportunity to listen to Rule's press conference, which was fantastic.
Yeah,
and he talks about Tony White, he talks about Raiola, like he talks about these people that make you go, oh, like real quick. Can I start there? I'm almost glad that you and I, due to scheduling things, we've like tried to record a couple of times over the last couple of weeks and just hasn't happened. And I'm so glad that it hasn't, because like I feel like there were a couple of moments where I would have like maybe turned on the mics and been like, what is Matt Rule doing?
Yeah,
and he's one of those guys like when. Even if I don't quite know, when he gets up in front of the podium and explains himself and talks, I feel 1,000 times better.
No doubt. And I think this is the first glimmer. The first glimmer of Matt Rule as head coach recruiter for Nebraska.
Right.
And what you just said, when he gets up in front of the room, you feel good. I got to think... that is what is happening on the recruiting trail. Like, it doesn't take long for Matt Rule to be pretty impressive with the mouthpiece.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like,
right.
He's got a mouthpiece. Like,
right.
He's a good speaker. He has a charisma. I mean, he can kind of captivate a little bit. So,
no,
that's like one of the big takeaways is like, just he seems to really got everybody's attention.
He can cast a vision. He can explain the rationale behind what they're doing, and then he's really confident in it. He's not arrogant. Like I don't get the sense that there's like arrogance.
No,
but he's confident in what he's doing, and that comes across every time he speaks. So it's like even in the, and that's what a lot of this is right now, is we're making our maiden our fifth maiden voyage or whatever this is with a new staff. Of like, some of the stuff is, do you trust the coach?
Yeah.
Do you trust the staff in what they're doing? And if you do, you just got to let it play out. And I feel like I need to learn that with him, because there are things that happen when I don't hear him explain it that I'm like, I don't know about this. But yeah. Then he explains it, I'm like, that makes complete sense.
Yeah, I think like most people that I've talked to, you know, neighbors, friends, acquaintances, everybody is kind of, I think, feeling Matt Rule out.
Yes.
I would say, though, his first month on the job, he is really... easing everybody's mind. Like he's really gotten off to a good start.
Totally.
Which I think was a tough situation to walk into. You know, the savior had returned in Scott Frost, the hometown kid, the Nebraska guy, and it didn't go well, and everybody kind of thought there's no chance. And he sort of has come in, I think, with expectations had gotten low.
Right.
And I can feel people are pleasantly surprised so far.
Yes, yes. And even the thing that kind of spoiled the things, the Mickey thing, yeah. Kind of made everybody like that whole transgression put everybody in a weird frame of mind for a little while. But you're right. I think he's done a good job. Okay. So again, we're going to try to focus on this just signing day, and then because there's a million things we could touch on.
It's signing day.
I mean, it is signing day. So I mean, it's probably updating by the minute, even though by about 7 o'clock, things are like pretty much set. At this point, on the 24/7 composite rankings, Nebraska's class ranks 28th in the country.
Rivals has them at 27.
So in that,
yeah.
Basically, this is a top 30 class.
I think they were in the 50s or 60s like yesterday.
I thought,
or like 2 days ago.
Yeah,
or something.
I know, yeah. I checked. It was a couple of days ago, and I thought they were in the high 50s.
Yeah.
So this thing has moved quite a bit. It is, according to the 24/7 composite rankings, it's the fifth best class in the Big Ten behind Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, and Michigan State. The reality is, like, it almost seems like fourth is the ceiling for, like, it's going to be hard to ever recruit at a higher level than Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State. You could maybe eclipse Penn State.
You could maybe eclipse Penn State. I think Michigan and Ohio State right now are going to be hard to beat as long as Harbaugh is at
Ann Arbor,
Michigan.
Yeah.
And Ohio State's kind of just, I think they're kind of right now set up for about a decade's worth of life. Right? It'd be hard to out-recruit Ohio State.
For sure. So, I guess, do we want to start broad? Like, is there anything that stood out to you over the past couple of weeks as you've seen offers come in, commitments come in, and then now signatures come
almost
in?
The last, let's call it 72 hours, it became very clear to me that, like, Matt Rhule, whether you like how he recruits or doesn't, Matt Rhule has a plan and a philosophy on what he's trying to do this year.
Right.
Right? So, like, to me, it became pretty clear Matt Rhule is trying to recruit the best linemen from Nebraska and the 500, like, his big guys from around here, lock those guys up, right? So we already had some guys locked up, but then he gets the Goldman kid from Gretna that Nebraska didn't really want before, you know,
right,
the previous staff. The kid from South Dakota, the big kid there. He's going close and saying, give me big dudes, right? And then the other end of it, he's saying, give me the fastest guys I can possibly get.
Right.
Just give me speedsters. Like,
yes.
His philosophy is like, I want the fastest guy in this that I can possibly get my hands on, and I'll teach him football. And maybe that's not his always philosophy, but I think for a makeshift year, I think he sort of said, that's who I can get,
right,
that has the most upside, that, you know, I'm not competing with the big schools to get. Like, you know, the kid from Westside, you know, Nebraska.
Jalen Lloyd. Yeah.
Jalen Lloyd was more of a track guy.
Yeah. He was.
And so now he's saying, no, come here, play football, right? There's a kid down in Texas that was, you know, state 100, 200 meter champion, right, like, you know, 10-4 guy, same thing. Like, this, I think it's Bryce Turner.
Yeah.
So Bryce Turner from Texas, same thing, like, no big schools on him. Even like a really late addition, this linebacker from Oklahoma, his name's Eric Fields. I saw his film. He's a skinny guy, but I mean, he flashes across the screen. He's really fast. He's unranked. He has no rating. So he's gone after some unranked, like, blazing speed guys that are just, he says, look at the, here's the upside. And I respect him for having a philosophy and going, right, this is what we're going for.
Right.
And so that was what stood out to me. It was like, look, Matt Rhule, like it or don't like it, he has a plan.
Right. And I think a couple of things with that. So first of all, the Eric Fields guy, he didn't really, in his whole press conference today, he when guys got asked, he said these guys by name. The only guy kind of unsolicited, like, he at the end of the press conference, he basically was like, listen, everybody around here is going to know who Eric Fields is. Like, and he that was exactly what Eric Fields, everyone here is going to know who he is. So he is all in on Eric Fields. And I think it's also clear what you're talking about, that there, and I kind of respect this, and I've always wondered what it's like on the front end of, or on the back end when you're recruiting as a coach, is if they like you and they see a skill set, whether it's speed or whatever, they don't care if you don't have a single other power conference offer, if you don't have any stars, whatever, if they trust their evaluation, they will offer you.
I respect that.
Yes.
That quality I respect, because this kid out of Oklahoma, I mean, I guarantee you right now, if you turned on that film and compared it to film of other, like, 4 or 5 star guys, and you said, which guy's the 4 and 5 star and which one's not, people would have a hard time. I mean, I watched 10 clips today of this guy, and I'm like, God, he's fast. I mean, he's really fast for a linebacker. And he was just flying around hitting people. I don't know if he can read. I don't know if he can, you know, if he can drop in coverage.
Right.
In 10 plays, though, I go, you could figure out something to do with this guy. You know, like, that's where I think there's unquestionably, like, if you are really fast, like, you got a chance somewhere. So if you're going to miss real fast.
That's something, even over the course of doing, we've now done a couple of signing days together and just talked about personnel and the roster. You've always kind of, I think you've sneaky subscribed to the school of thought of, like, if you're going to miss, your line's been like miss on like Heinrich Harburg, miss on 6'5" and a specimen.
Yeah.
Same school of thought, I think, here. If Matt Rhule and those guys are like, if we're gonna miss, let's miss on 10-400.
Well, I think what you find is there's such a, you know, it's hard to know like who really loves football and who's gonna commit. Like so like yeah, if I'm the head coach, I'm looking for the guys that absolutely love football. I'd take the guy that's better at football than he is track fat. I would do that personally. Sure. But you know what? There's a lot of uncertainty. And so, like, if in this situation, he's got a month, you got uncertainty with most of these guys. If you're uncertain, go with uncertain 10-3.
Right, that's a perfect way to put it.
Slow
yeah.
guy. You know, like, right. slow guy, but made a lot of tackles in, right. you know, in California. Like, I'd say you miss local and you miss really crazy.
There you go. Athletic. That's a great way to put it. I wouldn't be surprised if they being Rhule and the staff and said, boys, for this first class.
Yes.
For this first class, this is going to be speed dating. Let's be honest. We just got our Nebraska polos to hit the road and recruit for Nebraska. If we're going to let, because it's clear their philosophy was local, fast. See, that was it. Let's totally pour in to locking down the local dudes. Yeah. And then if we're going to miss on somebody, it's hard to miss 10-3. You can misread somebody and their personality in a couple of weeks or whatever, but 10-3 is 10-3. And if you're going to miss, you're going to miss there. Because I think, because there was in this Athletic article, there were some quotes from this recruiting guy. And he said, kind of what we're saying here, just to pay it off, said Matt Rhule's thought process is, if he has the movement and the athletic traits, then we can teach him to be a good football player because there's no ceiling on how much football I can teach him. But there's a ceiling on athleticism. Me and you will never run a 4.3 in the 40.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the philosophy there.
Yeah, and I think some people can fall in love with that too much.
Yes.
And it's too built into to too much. Like, so you need a mix of that probably. You know, I think the more you can get to know a player and the more you recruit him and know, like, okay, this guy is not that guy, you better be more certain on how much he loves football, how instinctual he is,
sure.
like how tough he is. Like, those things you better be more certain on the less athletic they are. Like, they better be the best damn player in the world as their athleticism goes down. Right.
Right.
So I think it's a smart philosophy for this year specifically. Now, I mean, I'm even thinking back to, and we don't want to, like, you know, it's all revisionist history, but, like, compared to the Frost era for a couple of those years where
they went speed heavy.
But we were reaching for guys I felt like that were a long way away. And so, and they were, like, you know, they got good star ratings. And I don't know. I think the one thing is, like, if these guys are fast, they're not high, so they're going to be grateful to be here.
Right.
So the guys from farther away are going to be grateful to be here. He got his Temple, yep. Pennsylvania guys that, you know, or the Syracuse flip.
Yep.
Like, those guys want to be with the coaches. And then everybody else is local, so you're more likely to keep local guys. And so I think it's going to be a better potential attrition rate just from that philosophy. Like, no offense to the last staff, but, like, they miss so much with their Florida guys and some of their
Georgia and different.
Yeah. So I think that was a little bit of a lesson in, you know, if you're really trying to get guys that aren't, you know, they don't really want to be here, you're better off missing local because at least they're probably going to stay.
Yeah. Because,
you
it's,
know,
but
we,
it
missed,
will be,
we missed remote.
For sure. The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors, and I want to talk to you guys about energy efficiency. And if you go onto Pella's website right now, you look at it, and how about this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different types of windows or doors by Pella won the Energy Star 2020 Most Energy Efficient Award. That's big time stuff right there. And they achieved that in a couple of waves. They got insulated glass, which slows the heat transfer, keeping your home at a more comfortable temperature. They got types of low E glass, which is a glass coating that has been optimized for your climate. They got triple pane glass, which you can upgrade to for increased insulating airspace. And within all of that, one of the keys is proper installation, which is key for window and doors to perform at their best. And you know the Pella experts are excellent at that. Bottom line, energy efficiency matters in making your home more comfortable, and Pella windows and doors are at the top of the line when it comes to energy efficiency. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. The thing that I heard Sam McEwen say this, he said one of the interesting things about this class is there probably are going to be five or six guys that sign that wouldn't have gotten another Power 5 offer.
Yeah.
So it is as much as we're, of course, you and I are always going to be a little glass half full with things and sure. See the positive sides of it. Like, it is, there is an element of like, wow, so this guy's going and getting track guys that don't have Power Conference offers. It's like, I mean, I guess he is, you know, and yeah. We'll see. The thing that I wanted to ask you before we get into some other stuff is like one of the things that's going to be fascinating to watch is, can you be, he talks about being in a developmental program and a developmental coach. Can you be a developmental program in today's college football with the portal and NIL? Like, that's going to be, can those two worlds coexist? Can you do it? That'll get tested pretty good.
It's going to be tested. That's going to be part of the Matt Rhule evolution, is the things he's preaching, does he have time to do? I guess this might sound bad, but like these guys that are unranked and low star, like, I mean, at least if they do have upside and you can develop them, they're less likely to leave probably because, you know, they didn't have everybody in the world knocking down their door.
Right.
So like, you were the people that saw something in them. They're probably going to be a little bit more loyal to you. However much loyalty there is in college football now.
But you're right though. Like, I don't know who else would even, because usually someone else was recruiting you out of high school, and if you're struggling, then, you know, not getting on the field, then they try to get on you. Some of these guys that didn't have any offers, I don't even know if they went in the portal, who would want them, because there wasn't a bunch of people knocking on the door in high school, and there's not going to be any film in college, but I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Nick,
it's,
I think there's more people than you believe right now that are entering the portal and going, oh, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. Like,
right.
You know, I think we had one of our DNs, Jamari Butler, went in the portal and, you know, he had some offers, but it wasn't Alabama. It was like North Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't Florida. It was like Florida A&M. You know,
yes.
Like, it wasn't the big offers that sometimes I think these guys think they're going to get. And they go, oh, so I can go play in the WAC, or I can go play in, you know.
Yeah, in the MAC, or the Conference USA, or, you know. Like,
or I can maybe start on a historic Big Ten team where the fans are rabid and NIL people want to pay me thousands of dollars a year to be here,
right,
whether I play or not. I think that's going to become obvious pretty quick.
Right. I do think, you know, there was obviously a huge emphasis on local. So there's a big one, Malachi Coleman, the East kid,
mm-hmm.
decommitted, went on a visit to coach with Coach Prime in Colorado last week, but then signed with Nebraska today.
Yeah.
Another guy that he's the best of both worlds. He was like a highly ranked kid that also runs a 10-3.
They all run 10-3. I mean, 10-3 is fast.
10-3 is fat. And he's like 6. Isn't he like 6'4"?
He's like almost 6. They have him listed at 6'5".
I mean, that's a specimen.
Yeah, he's a specimen. They were talking about him potentially being a defensive end. I mean, I don't think he's there, but he's got the 6'5 frame where you go, well, whatever you want to do, you
right.
can kind of do with it. But he'll start at receiver.
But it's good. I mean, a kid, a four-star kid 5 miles from your campus, you got to get. You just got to get.
Yeah.
It's a bad look if you don't get him.
Yeah, and I he did a good job sort of in that moment with, you know, the decommitment after
right.
the Mickey thing. Like, that's a fragile moment, and Matt Rhule showed once again, like,
hey,
I got some
right.
skills at this type of
right.
thing. Calm the waters, bring him back. Once again, Matt Rhule is showing like good positive signs that Matt
yes.
Rhule knows what he's doing.
So then we've talked about Jalen Lloyd. There's Gunnar Gatula, Southeast.
Yep.
Maverick Noonan out of Elkhorn. They locked up Tristan Alvano, the kicker from Westside. Did you watch the state championship game?
I saw the kick.
He boomed. He didn't just boom that one. He was booming them all. I mean, it's unbelievable.
I mean, worth the scholarship every time. Like, punters and I think if you can get that good of a punter and kicker, we've seen the last, like, when you don't got kickers and punters, you can lose multiple games a year. They're more valuable than so many people give them credit for.
Brock Knutson of Scott's Bluff,
Big kid.
Big dude. Sam Sledge from Creighton Prep, another big dude.
Dad's an offensive line coach. That's always a good sign.
And his last name, Sledge. I mean, it's just, come on. You're not going to be like a punter, you know?
Peter Gabriel.
Sam Sledge.
Sledgehammer!
That would be pretty good if they Peter Gabriel it after every play he made.
If he's a starter, we'll use Sledgehammer.
Yes.
We'll do Sledgehammer as one of our
And then you brought up the Mason Goldman kid from, he's Gretna, right?
Yeah, he to me is the example of, if you're going to miss local, because like he's probably like, he's not as highly recruited. I think he maybe had offers from, let's see here. I mean, did he even have a Kansas State offer? No. I mean, Arizona State, Eastern Michigan, Idaho. So no Big Ten, Big 12 schools. So, but you know, he's a local kid with a big frame who's a good player. So
right.
If you're going to miss here, because I'm guessing it's going to be really hard for this guy to be like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go transfer.
Right.
I'm going to go to somewhere. Like, this guy will probably be the developmental
because
guy.
Because that was what's surprising about the Ernest Hausman thing, is you figured a kid from Columbus
wouldn't
leave. But also, Dirk made a good point on that, and we won't get too much into Hausman and all that stuff, but like, it's amazing how it took a whole bunch of injuries for Hausman to even get onto the field.
Yeah.
And then Hausman has his best game against Michigan.
Yep.
You know, the Michigan staff was like, that kid's a freshman?
He stuck their backs a couple times as a freshman. He went, oh boy, this guy's going to be good.
So it was just, it took a unique set of circumstances for a Columbus, Nebraska kid to get on the field. He balled out. And then Michigan comes calling. So it was not a thing that's going to happen a ton. That one hurt, though.
Yeah,
that one hurt a little bit. But I do think, again, this first class, you nailed it. Like, I do think it's so smart that first class come in, establish the feel-good vibes of, we are going to recruit the state, we are going to go ingratiate ourselves with all of the high school coaches, because they were all over the place locally for the last couple of weeks. And Rule was asked about that, and he was just like, that's how we build this thing. We have to focus first on home. And his line was, the goal is for every fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh grader in the state of Nebraska needs to dream about playing at Nebraska. Which is such a good, I think Sip was like, how do you do that? How do you do that? How do you go about
That's not
that?
A question. I'm really, really curious.
What do you do?
I'm not going to worry about it.
But he said, first of all, win. He said, but then you make sure every player has a great experience so they can go spread the word. And then every high school coach has a great experience with you as well. Because when he talked about that, it's not completely the same just because, you know, shoot, it was 20 years ago. But, like, that's how it was when we grew up.
Yeah.
Every kid, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth grade, like, the idea that you had ever gotten an offer from Nebraska and not taken it was insane. And I think I like that school of thought. But, again, there clearly was a focus. Like, we need to go all in on trying to lock up anybody that's worth a shit in the state. And then that's also going to, like, that buys like some good vibes with the fan base too.
That does. I think they appreciated, the Goldman, the Jalen Lloyd. You could tell people were really excited. That is like,
right.
Like, because they know, like, these scholarships are going somewhere. And if it's not like, this guy's a unbelievable big time recruit, I think people are happier going, like, we'll bet on our own guys. The fans are, at least.
Well, and, you know, not you can get take this too far, I suppose, but, like, I mean, Westside won the state title.
Mm-hmm.
And Westside was in the state title a year ago. You know, Gretna won the state title a year ago. So Mason Goldman, like, there's also another, like, these guys are, like, the best players on the teams that are winning a lot.
Yeah.
And so I think there's also a little bit of that going on. But there's no question that the local thing made a huge impression on everybody.
Yeah.
But it's I don't know. This is another podcast for another day of just like how how seemingly sour things got locally, because you hear some quotes from various coaches like, well, it's good, just good to see Nebraska coaches on, you know, in our school and talking to us. I'm just like, I mean, in some ways, I wonder if that stuff's a little like, embellished or exaggerated, I think would be the word I would use. Yeah. I mean, there's this idea out there right now, like Scott Frost and the entire staff just... any phone call from Lincoln East, Gretna, Omaha West, they were like, we don't want it to.
Yeah, I think it was the part that was clear was, you know, we had trouble in Omaha. For whatever reason, Omaha kind of soured on Nebraska for a few years there, where we lost guys. I mean, I think Nebraska made the mistakes in the mid to late 2010s, mm-hmm. right? And then the Frost staff, I think they just didn't do well up there. Yeah. They didn't do as well in Omaha.
Right.
But I don't know that it was from a lack of like wanting certain guys, but
I know
maybe a little bit of that.
Because it's kind of got to take two to tango. And I think both can kind of look at each other like, I wouldn't be surprised, and I don't know this, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's some former staff members that are looking at high school coaches like, we wanted your kids. We wanted to recruit, and
kids didn't
want to come here. So we got to use our time wisely too. And then you can flip it and be like, well, you got to come and try to, you know. So I think that situation can kind of get.
Yeah, I think it's like
twisted.
There's also the in-state discount, right? Like if you're an in-state kid. Do you want the in-state coaches to have to work hardest for you, or do you want it to be
right?
Do you want to be the easy button, right? So I always felt like be the easy button. You know, guys, you see, like I think Gatula is an example of that.
Rule told the story. It was funny in the press conference. He called Brock Knutson from Scott's Bluff after he got the job, and Brock apparently told him, I'm coming to Nebraska regardless of who the coach is.
Yeah.
And Rule goes, well, at least stroke my ego a little bit and tell me you want to play for me in a funny way. But like that's kind of what you're getting at is like Brock Knutson's like, you could hire anybody and I'm going to go. Like,
do you know what that does though? That frees up the coach you're going to go play for to go recruit somebody else that can help you versus like, you know what I need? I need you to stroke my ego as the recruit. I always found that kind of embarrassing. I don't know what it is.
There's a degree of like, there needs to be effort, right?
But then there
always hits that point where it's like, do you want to be the high maintenance guy?
Yeah, there's a line of like, you're trying to decide where you want to go and it matters who wants you. Like that does matter.
For sure.
But then there's a point where it's like, now I'm playing games to see who will dance the most or something.
Right. And that gets to be
get
silly.
Get over yourself.
That gets to be silly. But
yeah.
But again, the Malachi Coleman thing is important. That was an important guy to keep. If that guy goes to Colorado, I think there's a lot of people that are like, oh God, that one hurt a lot. I mean, to me, we got DiCaprio Bootle's brother, Dwight Bootle, coming to town.
Dwight Schrute Bootle
is coming to town, which is exciting to me. He's already one of my favorite players. It's hard for me to not, you know, you and I have a way of just becoming obsessed with certain guys. Eric Fields has to be my favorite player in the class at this point.
You know why? Because he's zero star. There's nothing better. There's nothing better. I wish I would have been a zero star. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're the zero star guy, you can give the big middle finger
to
every one of those people that don't know what they're doing, that go, they bandwagon and they go, oh, that guy's a four star? Well, I guess I'll give him a four star. Like, have you ever seen somebody that gets a four star in one and then the other side's like, that's after they've seen this guy from somewhere else goes, no, I see him as a zero. Never happens, right?
Right.
Well, this guy's a zero. And I'm telling you, there's a chance he's a four star.
Yes. And just the fact that Rule brought him up at the end too, just I'm all in on Fields. All in on him. Is there anybody else in the class that you really, in terms of high school kids, we'll get to the transfers here in a second, but is there anybody else that stood out to you?
I mean, the two big kids we added this week on the defensive line. So his name's Prince Will.
I don't love know, it.
Uman Mielin?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it. Let's just call him the Fresh Prince.
Yeah. Fresh Prince.
The Fresh Prince.
It's Prince Will.
Prince Will.
Oh, Prince Will. Yeah.
So
Prince
it kind of works. He's, yeah, it does it's work. Will Smith. So the Fresh Prince from Texas, edge rusher, he. He's a four-star?
He's a four-star. You know, I think he's still a little bit of a project. His, like, basically he's got a brother that plays, I think, at Florida, who's like, you know, big dude, 270. And so they think he'll fill out, and he's got a lot of potential. So I think that's a good get. And then they flipped the guy from Syracuse that kind of came with the D coordinator. Yep, so
Tony Smith.
That's good that, like, that's sort of somebody that's going to fit into what Tony Smith wants to do. So
for sure.
And actually this big guy from South Dakota, he's like huge, but he'll sometimes line up. He's like one of those big guys. Have you seen, like, when Chris Farley, like, how agile Chris Farley?
Yeah, yeah.
He's like super agile, but he's huge.
Got a little bit of that. I love it.
He's one of these, like, monster kind of, like, nimble guys. So I thought, I don't know, it's kind of made me.
I do enjoy that. That used to be. I mean, that was always. I feel like Chris Farley was like an underrated athlete with the way he moved. It was incredible. But yeah. There's no high school quarterback, which is interesting.
The Will Watson, I think they made clear they didn't really want.
Yes.
I think he was a guy they evaluated and said, this isn't our mold. And they kind of politely said, like, if you really want to come, we'll consider it. But, like, I think they more were like, find someplace.
All I know is the way things are shaping up with the quarterbacks, very interesting. Because... And we don't need to go down this
your
path
boy,
too much.
Your boy. Yeah.
Well, first of all, you know, not to go all cliche, like, coming up next, I'll tell you, the most important recruit wasn't who they signed. It was who they kept. That's next. but that is...
That's so accurate.
That's the radio tease. You know? But keeping Casey Thompson, I know he had surgery and all that stuff. Like, the one thing I am not falling for the new quarterback coming in is going to be better. Like, Casey Thompson is good.
Casey's my guy. I'm riding with Casey.
Yeah, I want Casey. Now, what's hard is I do think Satterfield wants to run. He wants the quarterback to run a little bit. But I don't care. Casey Thompson, and basically in the announcement, his dad was like, he's staying. We ain't staying to sit. Like, his dad was, I mean, just like, come on. But Casey, you can win games with Casey Thompson.
Is Casey going to be 24?
Yeah, I think he turns 25 in the season next year.
Well, this is where being a quarterback, getting older and wiser, you only get better. So this is where, you know, he'll be able to process and digest a new system in a year. That's the part that's so great.
Right.
Like, if you're 19, it's like, oh. It's like,
I want to play into it. I want Casey, when he does his post-game press conference, come with the readers. You know, the old guy
reader.
You know,
just be like, okay, what was this here?
What we got here?
When third down, we were 7-for-13. That's good. Like,
oh,
I want him to just play into the
sale. There's a sale this week at Menards. I've been meaning to get those lug nuts.
Well, after spring football means it's mulch time, so I am going to get to that immediately.
They say you should really plant early spring or late fall. There's a time to plant the grass. You know?
I want him all in on just old guy things. That's what I want.
But Nick, we're kind of shaping up to have a good quarterback situation.
Yes.
Because this guy from Georgia Tech, I never really got to watch him play.
Jeff Sims.
But he's played some football.
Well, and that was he was another guy that obviously was asked, Rule was asked about him in the press conference. Said, so the way he explained this, I believe this is the coach at Georgia Tech replaced him at Temple. So he was... It was like there was a natural way to follow. So he goes, when I was in the NFL, he goes, I just watched a lot of Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
So he watched a lot of this Sims guy play, and he loved him. And he even said people in NFL circles, when he hit the portal, NFL people are calling him and going, you're going to go get this kid, aren't you?
Yeah.
So he said he's an NFL athlete. He's a strider.
Yeah.
You know, and he's fast. And, you know, he's got a little bit of experience, too.
I'll tell you what, Nick. I mean, that's such a good get because Casey is a tough dude, but he got hit a lot this year. He's coming off 2 years of having surgeries, right? And he's going to go into next year coming off, you know, with a shoulder surgery. So we're going to need another guy, right?
For sure.
I don't know where, hey, get your hands off my hiney's at. I don't know where Richard... I didn't kill my wife. Torres is.
Richard Torres is Richard Kimball.
Dr. Richard Torres.
Okay, Dr. Richard Torres. Hey, get your hands off my hiney. Those two guys seem like they're way down. Logan Smothers.
Brothers is...
I mean, I don't know what Smothers is doing. And then Chubba Purdy. Chubba's still recovering from like the second half of whatever. What was it, the Minnesota game or was it the Illinois game? Whatever game, he had a rough go.
Oh, I mean, I can't. It's like
he kind of balled for like two series at Michigan and then hurt himself.
Yeah, then he got hurt there. And,
but we got sidetracked. But no, I'm not gonna lie. A quarterback picture of Casey and Jeff Sims, I kind of like it. Especially you can bring in Jeff and he's a different like.
More and more weapons, and we haven't. Maybe I'm blanking. Anthony Grant's coming back.
I don't even. Is he got?
Because I felt like he was only a junior. Why am I?
It's hard. I thought he was.
Is he done? Was he? I thought he was done.
The Nick Bob Podcast is powered by Runza. You know, there are a lot of ways to greet someone. Hey, hi, hello, what's up? Another way is, what's popping? Well, here's the thing. That greeting has taken on a new meaning now because the answer to what's popping is now Runza's new popcorn chicken. That's what's popping. Runza's new popcorn chicken is amazing. Little, bite-sized, delicious all white meat chicken that make any day better immediately. I love them. My wife loves them. My kids cannot get enough. 2-year-old Mac, 6-year-old Mava are constantly wanting to get it popping. Great for a snack, great for a meal. Pair them with the best crinkle fries on planet Earth, and you are set. All I got to say is you need to get out to a Runza location nearest you and get it popping. What's so hard to understand about that? Get it popping with Runza's all-new popcorn chicken. Runza makes it all better.
For some reason, I was had my head hit another year, and I was waiting to kind of...
He's like, a junior. Yeah, in the thing, 2022, Anthony Grant excelled as Nebraska star running back in his first season at Husker, and he's listed as a junior. So Anthony Grant could come back. The dude that I'm waiting for is A.J. Allen.
A.J. Allen, he had a lot of success here, though. That's the part is like... You know, like, I think it's a good to, like, dip your toe in. We're like, I did well at Nebraska. The fans like me.
Then he got hurt.
Then he gets hurt.
So, yeah, the big question now is also, I mean, they need to find some. I mean, at this point, Marcus Washington, give him a first down, is going to be the number one wide receiver at this point.
Yeah, that's going to be the.
And he's not bad.
The coldest is coming back, yes. Which is the coldest was supposedly pushing for playing time before he got hurt, but he's also young. But yeah, I don't know. The receiver's going to be
interesting. Cause I think if with Grant back in the fold and if AJ Allen comes back, like
your boy, Gabe Irvin,
we're still going to, we're until the bitter end, we are going
to
defend that.
Every year. Me and you go to Vegas, Beck. We'll take,
what's
Gabe
the
Irvin
odds
for- minus 1 million. We'll take it. And we take it every time.
He won't even be. Could you go? I bet if it's not on the board, he can't bet it. Like if we went to Vegas and said we want to bet on Gabe Irvin winning the Heisman, if he's not on the board,
it'd be negative two.
I mean, it'd be something.
You'd
I don't
win
even
a
go,
billion
if we could,
dollars.
It would be amazing. Nick Bob Beaurud, Gabe Irvin, the bet of a lifetime. So Sims, because they got it 6 transfers. By the way, there is a heavy flavor of, what was it? I mean, over half. I think it was what Sam had in his article, like 15 or 16 of total of the commits in this class are on the defensive side of the ball. Rule got his, it got heavy on the defensive side. But you got a Texas A&M flip in Elijah Judy, defensive lineman. He was going to Texas A&M, dog.
Well, that's what I'm saying. These are guys that it doesn't hurt to bring in. I don't know if they got the game, right? But if they get here early enough, they have a better chance to play.
4-star.
And, you know, like I said, this is going to – they don't know if they're going to do the 3-3-5 or if they're going to do a 4-3. I think they're feeling that out by their personnel, and Rule kind of hinted at that.
Yeah, okay, so you heard that answer. That was a great answer.
It was a great answer.
Yes.
And I loved it. Like, we're going to, you know, look at who we got and based off of that.
Right.
So, But, you know, we were so slim on that defensive line. So I think they still need interior defensive linemen. That's sort of a missing piece. And, Nick, we didn't get a tight end because Brommer decommitted, you know, went to Iowa State. So we didn't get a tight end in this class. Vocalek's going pro. I mean, Fedoni's coming back, but I don't know what the status of him
is.
Well,
I would say to spread our money around in Vegas, I don't know why we wouldn't put money on Fedoni to win the Heisman.
I mean, yeah.
I'm still like, his high school film was crazy.
He's got a great length, though. He's got some length.
But no, you're right. Like the tight end situation, Chancellor.
Chancellor's our guy.
I mean, but the tight end situation is interesting.
Yeah, we need
Fedoni to get healthy.
We need Fedoni
and
to
become
for
the number
sure
one
come
tight
back
end.
Too. Yes. I heard some rumors.
Oh, come on, Thomas.
I heard some rumors.
Well then,
but
I would like to withdraw my bet from Vegas.
I think he's going to look at the layout here and go, okay, Casey Thompson, this other guy, Rule's doing good things. There's nobody in the tight end room that will probably.
I would say that's what I was going to say. Is he's
test him for playing time right now? I mean. He's the lead dog going in there, and he's never taken a snap. How often is that the case? So you're looking around the Big Ten.
Where are you going to go with that?
You're
going
to go to Michigan and think you're going to walk into Michigan without any competition. Like, there's always good tight ends at Iowa, Michigan. So I think that, like I said, he'd have some suitors from his high school days, but I still think you come off two knee injuries in a row, like – Alabama's not knocking down your door after two knees.
I'd be really disappointed. I'm still like he's one of those guys. I'm all in on him. Much like
I am too. Hey,
I want him to stay so bad.
He's our big time recruit, yes. And I just want to see him get in the field
again,
for us.
He was the number one tight end in the country.
I want to see him get on the field for us. So I just want him to stay here so he can like.
If you're gonna fail here. How dare you fail somewhere else?
Just if he gets on the field, he won't fail.
That's how I feel. You know, like, I feel like he could go be the Cowboys tight end next year, and it'd be like move over Jason Witten, who's been retired for a couple of years. Move over Jay Novacek?
Jay Novacek, there is a good one.
He was fantastic. Okay, Josh Fleeks, little tiny speedster, Baylor transfer.
Yep,
probably the name. Of all names, Prince Wills, tough to beat, but Chief Borders?
Chief Borders you. The Chief Borders you.
I mean,
he's at the border.
Could we, if we could please have a linebacking core of Eric Fields and Chief Borders?
I'd be a big fan. I don't know much about Chief Borders. I get the sense he's big into selling t-shirts, though. Like, he is trying to sell Chief Borders t-shirts. They said he's got t-shirts at Florida and Nebraska already. I'm like,
do we need to get our hands on some Chief Borders t-shirts and
Chief
wear them?
Chief Borders is good. We'll wear Chief Borders t-shirts during the pod on YouTube.
But no, I mean, another guy, like a lot of these dudes, former four-star, like all these transfers were once upon a time in Hollywood, they were four-stars.
Four stars at good schools, you know.
You know, so to keep it, Corey Collier, cornerback, was another Florida guy. He was a four star. And then you got to love that Ed Foley went out and got his long snapper.
Good man.
Marco Ortiz.
That's
he's
important.
Just like, he can hit a bullseye. He just bends over 30 feet, 30 yards away. And he's like,
see that can sitting on that fence? Prepare to be amazed.
Please move while I bend over. Like, it's hard to look cool, you know, if you're walking around doing, like, you know, a gunslinger. You know, you go out outside the saloon. You go outside the saloon and Marco Ortiz is like,
at noon,
you turn around. And instead of actually turning and drawing and facing each other, you just bend over. You long snap.
You look at each other for a second and then you both turn around, face away from each other, bend over, and then fire footballs.
Who wouldn't want to watch at the saloon at high noon the long snapper duel?
High noon.
Marco Ortiz is going to come
with
kill
Marco
you.
Marco Ortiz.
So the six transfers. I mean,
I like the kid from from Florida because I believe he was teammates with one, the younger Boodle, Dwight Boodle. So
yeah, you get a little.
They could be homesick together. Yeah, I always feel like there's a connection. It's always a good thing when there's a connection.
Totally agree.
It's like I trust that. Oh, this guy's coming here because his teammate said, "Dude, you need to come to, you know,
right.
This is the place you need to go."
That's good. Yes, I agree.
I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, I totally think it makes sense.
I go, okay, that's a better sign.
Because right now, I'm like anybody that's not from like the 500 mile radius, I'm like, they're going to transfer. They're going to get homesick and leave. I get a little nervous about that.
Yeah,
so.
And I also know I don't always trust some of these guys going into the portal. Like, are you good? Are you not? You know, so I think I like some of the circumstances better than others.
Okay, we're at 43 minutes. I mean, there's so much more meat on this bone that we didn't even talk about Dylan Raiola.
We maybe
need to save the coaching. So Tony White, Donovan Raiola, Dylan Raiola.
Nick, the Raiolas are
Dominic, Donovan, Dylan. We need to talk about all of them.
All the D's?
All the D's need to get discussed.
If dinner, don't get drunk.
Don't throw that dinner, don't get drunk, Donovan, Dylan, Donovan. We need to talk about all of them. So there's tons of meat on this bone.
What's the mother's name? Is she a D?
She had Dolores. She's like a Dolores. Deborah, Dolores, something like that. One other. Debbie. That's kind of like Deborah. I can't think of another D girl name.
Diana.
There you go. Boom. So I say all that to say we're gonna say goodbye. But after Christmas, we need to sit down and really have... We have a lot to discuss with
Please
Tony White.
Please come home for Christmas.
What's on tap for before you go by? What Christmas movies are getting watched? What are the for sures at this point?
So Christmas, you know, Eve will watch It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay.
Christmas Day will be Christmas Story.
Okay.
We've watched... Four Christmases.
You're big,
Nick,
into Four Christmases.
Is so underratedly
good. It is good.
Me and my wife, that's like our go-to. Like we want a funny Christmas. That's what we've been going to. My daughter is 1.5, and she doesn't watch any TV. Basically,
right?
She's not interested in it. Home Alone was on, and The Burglars. It's the only thing I've ever seen her captivate with. She calls it donk. She goes, donk. You get hit. She loves all the burglars.
What a perfect hit. Yeah.
She loves it. So she asks for donk all day. She goes, more donk? I go, no, it's not on, you know?
Sorry, I can't help you out, hon.
My daughter loves Home Alone.
Oh, so that, how good does that make you feel?
Yeah, we watched Home Alone last couple nights, okay. 1 and 2. So that's been ours. How about you?
In a perfect world, I get It's a Wonderful Life in for the second time in my life. Watched it for the first time ever last year. It's just amazing.
Good man.
I want to get Christmas Vacation in.
I got to get that. Yep.
Home Alone's got to get in. My wife wants to watch Die Hard.
Okay, this is the...
The conundrum of all
conundrums. This is interesting because Die Hard's amazing. I know it's associated with Christmas. I've never watched it.
We watched it on Christmas Eve. Might have been last year when we were kind of wrapping presents and getting all this stuff. And it was kind of like a nice, kids are in bed...
Yeah,
you're with your
it's
like
adult-y,
it's
yeah.
an adult move, you know, like that. Like so, all we might get our well. She wants to do Die Hard, and then that's probably. I mean, if we're being honest, now I mean that's a lot of movies to get in.
What
a couple
great
of days.
Wife you have, though. She wants to.
She
do
wants
Die
to
Hard.
Watch Die Hard.
That's amazing.
She wants to watch. She was like her line of movies. I'd rather watch Die Hard than Christmas Vacation, and I didn't know whether to be upset at that. I don't. I mean.
What's happening?
Excuse me. Not what I want to hear. But no, I don't. Those, for sure, I got to. Home Alone's got to get watched. I'm making Mava. We already have plans.
Will love that.
Mave and I are on Christmas Eve. We're going to watch it together. It's going to be fantastic. But I can't wait. So, yes, we're leaving a lot of meat on the Husker bone here. So get ready. Everybody have a good Christmas. You have a good Christmas. And we come back. Tony White, Dylan Donovan, Dominic. We're talking all the staff hires, and with this quarterback situation, I mean, there's a lot of dots to connect here and make things seem a little juicy, but we got a lot of things to discuss. So there you go. 47 minutes on signing day. How about that?
I think it's our tightest set we've ever performed.
That was pretty good. Okay, let's go get some. Who's selling the T-shirts? We got to go. We got to go to their website. We got to go to cheapborders.com.
Let's go.
Let's go to Cheap.
A Herd at Sports Network production.